The Lord Jesus Christ confronts us this morning in these words from Luke's Gospel with the issue of the kingdom of God. God's rule of grace and power, which comes to men and women like us in the person and work of the King himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only imagine the electrifying effect that those questions he asked had on his hearers. When Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it?" And then again in verse 20, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God?" asked Jesus. Now, what sort of thoughts and images came to the minds of those who heard those questions of Jesus? There were many people who listened to him who had wrong ideas, misconceptions, very materialistic ideas about what the kingdom of God looked like. Perhaps they began to think kingdom of God. Kingdom speaks of might and power and influence. So the kingdom of God must speak of even greater might and power and influence. So perhaps the image of a great city or a powerful army or a very wealthy nation came to the minds of those who heard when Jesus asked these questions about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? Said Jesus. And we can imagine the gasps of astonishment when the Lord Jesus pricked the balloons of those people who heard him. And he spoke of a mustard seed and spoke of leaven. In the experience of the people of his day, the mustard seed was the smallest seed they would have ever seen. And yet when it's sown, what happens, says Jesus? And here's the heart of the parable. The mustard seed, so small, and yet when it's sown, it becomes a large tree, so that even birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. There are several striking Old Testament passages that include a picture like this of a great tree in which the birds of the air come and find refuge. And in those Old Testament passages, the tree represents an empire, a kingdom. And the birds of the air represent smaller nations that come and find refuge under the branches of a great tree. So the Lord Jesus was using a picture that the people should have known from Daniel chapter 4, Ezekiel chapter 31, and especially Ezekiel chapter 17. The kingdom of God, like a tiny mustard seed, but then it grows into this tree in which the birds of the air find refuge. And then said Jesus, the kingdom of God is like leaven, like yeast. A little leaven permeates dough as it's being prepared. It causes the whole loaf of bread to rise when it's cooked. Leaven produces fermentation, those carbon dioxide bubbles that cause the dough to rise. In both these parables, the less becomes the greater. And in the experience of the people who heard the Lord Jesus, they'd have known what he was talking about. A small seed grows into a tree as high as 10 to 15 feet high. It shoots out large branches so that birds of the air can come and find refuge in its shade. A little pinch of yeast in dough causes that dough to rise up when the bread is baked. So the key lesson in the parables is this comparison between small beginnings and the ultimate large mustard tree, the little leaven which causes the whole loaf of bread to rise. The kingdom of God, this is the big issue, the kingdom of God is established and it grows from a principle of small beginnings to surprising, unexpected, marvelous increase. And so what are we to learn from these parables this morning? Well, let's think first of all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. The mustard seed and leaven. The kingdom has drawn near to these people who heard him speak. The kingdom of God had drawn near in the person of the King, Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God could not be at hand while the Lord Jesus Christ was still afar off. But then the King came. He was recognized by that anointing of the Holy Spirit following his baptism in the River Jordan. He was anointed God's prophet, priest, and king. And then he began to preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand, said the Lord Jesus. At hand because the King himself had come. If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you, said Jesus, Luke chapter 11, verse 20. So the kingdom of God had come in the person of the King. But think of the beginnings, like a tiny mustard seed, like a pinch of leaven. There was a heavenly announcement to some shepherds on a Judean hillside. The birth of a little baby. No palace ceremonies. No announcement to the world about this birth. A baby was born, not in a royal palace, not with splendor and glitz and show. You see the principle of the mustard seed and leaven, whereby the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, a miracle takes place in the womb of the Virgin Mary. There are few thoughts this morning that will stretch our minds as much as the wonder of the incarnation, that God himself, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, took to himself a true humanity. This miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ went through every stage, conception, implantation in the womb, multiplication of cells, all the holy mystery, where the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world so that he would live out for us a life of perfect obedience to God. I'm sure we will sing over the next few weeks that mighty hymn, Veiled in Flesh the Godhead See. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, God with us. But at its beginnings, like a little mustard seed, like a little pinch of leaven, Mary in her pregnancy, going through all the discomfort of morning sickness and the pains of childbirth. You would never have suspected this was God manifest in the flesh. So that by 2021, millions of people all over the world are bound now in faith and love and obedience to this one who was born in Bethlehem. Just a Hebrew woman who is pregnant. Some suspecting that the child had been conceived out of wedlock. That's all it was, a mustard seed, a little leaven. And as Jesus began to grow into manhood, Isaiah said, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Just a mustard seed, leaven. Appeared to be an ordinary man. And then in his hour of greatest trial, when he's arrested falsely, well, one of his followers betrayed him. One of his followers cursed and denied that he knew him. And most of his followers ran away and forsook him. And there he is hanging on a cross, an instrument of execution usually reserved for the worst of criminals. Now, would you start a worldwide religion with that? This mustard seed, this little leaven. What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? There it is, that mustard seed, the leaven. A virgin conception. An outcast. That ordinary looking man. The shame and the agony and the ignominy of the cross. But what has happened from that mustard seed, from that little leaven? Jesus had said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. So the Lord Jesus uses the picture of a seed going into the ground and dying. He speaks of being lifted up on the cross. He explains that in his death, it's like the mustard seed buried. It's like that little leaven being spread through the whole loaf. Jesus rises from the dead. He bursts forth from the tomb. And he brings with him in his resurrection a whole new humanity. All the redeemed people of God. And ever since Jesus' resurrection, the kingdom of God's grace and power has been extending all over the world. This morning, from a little mustard seed, from a little leaven, all over the world this morning, in every continent, 2.5 billion people now identify themselves as Christians. Christian who is joined in faith and trust to Jesus Christ by faith alone in him, from out that little speck, as it were, of a mustard seed of leaven. And now all over the world, the kingdom of God, every nation in the world is being affected as the kingdom of God spreads, and Jesus shall reign. Where'er the Son does his successive journeys run, his kingdom will stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. The Roman Empire, the British Empire, now nothing but a handful of dust, but God's kingdom. Jesus said, it's like a mustard seed, it's like leaven. But that mustard seed has grown and spread. The leaven has permeated through the whole world. Countless millions now find rest under the shade of grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So if I can say to you this morning, if you've never known what it is to have a conscience cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you don't know what it is to walk in joyful communion with God, if you are not reconciled to God this morning through faith in Jesus Christ, there is room in the kingdom of God for you. There is room in the kingdom of God for you. You can find in Jesus Christ this morning a refuge from an accusing conscience. And a refuge from the anger of a holy God who will judge us all one day. Refuge from the futility and hopelessness of a life lived without God. In the history of redemption, that mustard seed has grown, that leaven has spread, and you can find forgiveness and grace and new life this morning in the kingdom of God. Trust in Jesus, the King of righteousness and grace and glory. Find refuge in him. Come to me, says Jesus this morning, saying to you, come to me, I'll give you rest, and through him you enter the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the mustard seed and leaven. Then secondly, the kingdom of God itself, the mustard seed and leaven. These parables are both prophecies and promises. They're prophecies in that those who first heard them were hearing that the kingdom of God would increase and grow beyond all their expectations. Now the kingdom was being announced in the person of the king. Most of those hearing him initially were thinking carnally. They were thinking about a kingdom, military might, economic power. But the Lord Jesus Christ cuts across that grain. Don't expect my kingdom to begin in some great, impressive, showy way, says Jesus. It's like the smallest of seeds. No more impressive than a little leaven, which works its influence on the whole loaf of bread. The world went on as usual when Jesus died on the cross. Now there was darkness over the face of the earth. Something was happening. But in Rome and in the halls of Roman government, nobody said, now we must urgently discuss the implications of the death of Jesus. It wasn't on the agenda of the world leaders. There was no COP26. They had more important things to discuss. But within 40 years, there was no place in the whole Roman Empire where you could ignore the fact the mustard seed was growing, the leaven was permeating. Colossians 1 verses 5 and 6, Paul can write, within 40 years of the resurrection, the truth of the gospel is bringing forth fruit in all the world. You see the prophecy. The kingdom of God will grow, Jesus is saying. And it did grow. Nothing left now of the Roman Empire. Just a handful of dust. But the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God all over the world this morning. There are men and women joined in faith and love and trust with Jesus Christ. When Jesus first spoke those words, there were no people in the world who would call themselves Christian. Today, as I say, about 2.5 billion identify as Christians. So they're prophecies, but they're also promises. These parables of the mustard seed and leaven, promises that if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ this morning, making known the good news about Jesus Christ the Saviour, here's a promise to take hold of by faith this morning. Here were this group of disciples who, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he stayed with them 40 days expounding things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And they needed to know, this little group, 120 people in an upper room, who were given a worldwide mission by the Lord Jesus Christ. How startling these words must have been to them when the Lord Jesus said to them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." 120 disciples in an upper room. How are they going to do that? Ah, but they have to take hold of these promises. The kingdom of God, like a mustard seed, like leaven. They're not being sent out on a fool's errand. No one in their right mind would go forth with energy on a fool's errand. But if you know the sure promises of God, that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, it's like leaven, it'll grow and accomplish in the purposes of God what seems insignificant, God can use it to produce amazing results. That early group of disciples believed those promises. And they went forth to the ends of the earth, we are told. And though God sometimes even used persecution to scatter them, the mustard seed continued to grow. The leaven continued to spread its influence. And so those disciples, they took hold of the promises and the prophecies of the mustard seed and the leaven. And they believed the sure, certain growth of the kingdom of God. Prophecies and promises. So the kingdom of God, the mustard seed and leaven. But then thirdly, this congregation, the mustard seed and leaven. Here's an encouragement for us as a congregation this morning. Something that produces hope and expectancy and zeal. That we take hold of these parables as prophecies and promises too. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How do we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord? Because the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's like leaven. You may think this morning, what is your witness doing? You're a Christian and you're seeking to witness. And you may think that you know not so much about the scriptures. Perhaps you get tongue-tied. Sometimes come away from opportunities thinking, if only I'd said this. If only I hadn't said that. But you know, few people are won to the Lord Jesus Christ by a very eloquent presentation of the gospel. God takes a mustard seed. Leaven. Someone's changed life. Someone's stumbling attempts to speak a word for Jesus. Someone's endeavours to reach out a hand of kindness and compassion to those in need. And God takes the seemingly inconsequential. That little seed, that leaven, makes it germinate, makes it spring up until it begins to work in amazing and powerful ways. We can take hope from these parables, from something little, insignificant, apparently inconsequential. But God can bring forth something amazing, something great. On a Thursday night here, we meet together to study the Bible and pray. Just a little group of people in a prayer meeting. What significance can that have? When we meet with children on a Friday night, young people, some of the people from the church are going door to door in the locality, seeking to speak to people about Jesus Christ. As I go into schools from time to time, taking assemblies with children. We had an evening last night inviting people from different nationalities. The church here meeting on the site of the seminary. Students being trained. Just this. This is a group of students being trained for gospel ministry. But if you take hold of the idea, God's mustard seed, God's leaven, that God can use that little mustard seed, use that leaven, to change a whole locality, change a whole nation. God can bring something totally disproportionate to the size of the seed, the leaven. So we labour on in the confidence that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, it's like leaven. And when it pleases God to cause the seed to germinate, when the leaven spreads its influence, God can use that to change your family, change your neighborhood, change your locality, change your city, change your nation. Now there are many pressures on us this morning to say, well, if you're going to extend the kingdom of God, you better replace preaching, because people don't want to listen to preaching of the Bible anymore. So do something different. And we say, no. It may seem insignificant, may seem inconsequential to people in our society, but it's through the foolishness of the word of God preached that God saves. So we keep preaching the word of God. Do you believe the Bible this morning? Its authority, its power. We're not going to stop doing what God lays down for us as we extend the kingdom of God. It may seem inconsequential. We're living in an entertainment culture. People are saying, oh, well, the church must give up on following what the Bible guides us in as we worship God. Let's just do what pleases people. Let's have dancing bears and clowns and smoke. No, we stick with what the Bible says because the kingdom of God, it's like a mustard seed. It's like leaven. And for some of you this morning who've been Christians for many years, you've seen this as part of your experience. You've seen it in your own testimony, perhaps. I think back to my friend in school who sat by me year after year, that witness, that testimony of a Christian. And I couldn't escape it, the way God changes a life. Let me tell you about the testimony of a man called Mike Phelan, how he became a Christian. He'd never been to church. He had no interest, apparently, in Christianity. And then one day he entered a charity shop. And in the charity shop, he saw this book, and its title caught his eye, Good News for Modern Man. Good News for Modern Man, he thought. So he picked it up and he bought it. Just cost him a few pence. When he first bought that book, he didn't even know that the book he purchased was actually a New Testament. He had no Christian contact with anyone. But he began to read this little book, Good News for Modern Man. And as he read its pages, he was more and more drawn to the teaching of what this book was saying. Until, as he read it, there was a point of recognition. He still hadn't met a Christian. He still hadn't attended a church. But he was granted the realization that as he was reading the Bible, it was absolutely and eternally true. And it spoke to him about Jesus. And it changed his life. Brought a complete change in his life. A change of joy and wonder. He knew that the words he was reading were true. Must be lived by. And now he says, if necessary, he's now a preacher. Now, if necessary, he must be even died for. A mustard seed. Someone's secondhand Good News for Modern Man. Translation of the New Testament. And he picks it up and it changes his whole life. See, by the word of God, yeast came into his life. And it began bubbling away and fermenting. And it changed his life and he was saved. So think of it this morning in your Christian life. No one child, one teenager, in Explorers, in our Matrix meetings on a Friday night, but God can change your life and do something amazing, something wonderful. A Spurgeon or a Wesley or a Whitfield. God changes a life. One conversion might be the beginning of God doing something completely new. We need to pray for surprising conversions. That God will suddenly work. That the mustard seed will begin to grow. That the leaven will permeate. And who knows, there may be some completely new Christian outreach. There may be a student here in the seminary training for gospel ministry. And God will take that person up and use them in an amazing way to speak to our nation. We need that voice in our nation these days. Jesus says to us, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's like leaven. So I'm saying, take hold of these prophecies and take hold of them as promises. And believe in their fulfillment until every last soul for whom the Savior has died will be brought into the kingdom of God. Part of that great multitude which no man can number out of every kindred, tribe, tongue and people. And let's be nourished, let's be strengthened, let's be given new hope and zeal. The mustard seed will grow. The leaven will permeate. All the whom God purposes will be drawn and brought into the kingdom of God. And I'm saying to you this morning, if you've never entered the kingdom of God, if you don't belong to this king this morning, there is room for you in the kingdom of God. Will you find rest this morning in the shade of the mustard tree? Will you find that leaven of the word of God bubbling up in your life this morning in such a way that it brings salvation, forgiveness of sin, new life? Jesus says to you, come to me. He's the king. He's the king who establishes his kingdom. And in hearts and lives this morning, here and all over the world, there are men and women joined in faith to him. Is Jesus your king? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the mighty King of glory and grace, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that those who are joined to him in faith this morning, taking hold of the prophecies and promises of the kingdom of God, being like a mustard seed, being like leaven, will find renewed zeal and hope and trust to labour on, to witness for Jesus Christ, to make him known. And Lord, we pray that in your mighty power, you will take our poor stumbling words and our lives as we seek to reflect something of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Make that witness powerfully effective beyond all expectation. And for those who've never done so before, even this morning, to find in Jesus Christ that rest, that refuge for the soul. He is the only Saviour. He saves from death, destruction and despair. And so we come to him this morning, and in faith joined to him, we thank you. What joy, what peace, what forgiveness we have found. Oh, spread your mighty kingdom. Oh, Lord, we pray. Hear us this morning from heaven, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a closing hymn. It's probably best if we all stand, and then once the music starts, we'll be ready. So let's stand, and then we'll be ready to go. while since I've done that. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for that King of glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that as we rejoice in those who belong to his kingdom this morning, the kingdom of God, justice and joy, oh, we pray for the spread of that kingdom. And for those who've never done so before, to know that joy of entering into the kingdom of God even today through Jesus Christ, the mighty King, who rejects none who turn to him in repentance and faith. We thank you, Lord, for that mighty kingdom, and we pray, continue to pray, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We rejoice this morning in Jesus the King. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and with all God's people, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.